श्री नृसिंह जय नृसिंह जय जय नृसिंह। श्री नृसिंह जय नृसिंह जय जय नृसिंह। जय पद्म मुख पद्म जय पद्म प्रह्लादेश जय पद्म मुख पद्म भृंग प्रह्लादेश जय पद्म मुख पद्म भृंग प्रह्लादेश जय पद्म मुख पद्म भृंग। This is a prayer that's offered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first in South India, Vishakhapatnam. There's a little hiss coming, that feedback is a bit heavy, there's a little bit down. First Lord Chaitanya offered this prayer to the Nrisimhadev deity. It's a bit soft. To the Nrisimhadev deity in Jiyada Nrisimha near Vishakhapatnam in South India, in Lord Chaitanya in South India tour. And he went to visit, he visited many temples in his tour of South India after his sannyas. And here he became very ecstatic and he offered these prayers, and dancing and offered prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev. And Lord Chaitanya, he set this standard or this example that when we visit the temples, different temples of the Lord, that we learn to offer prayers to the Lord. We pray to the Lord to glorify the Lord, not that we go to the different temples around the world and we ask the Lord for so many things. But we go to the to visit the Lord for darshanatam, we go into the temple for the purpose of darshan, to see the Lord, and that the Lord will see the devotees. And we offer prayers in glorification that Krishna, that we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam, that we learn from the Acharyas, that we learn from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just like we offer a prayer to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he is the Namo Mahavadanyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate, that he is the most merciful incarnation because he gives Krishna Prema. Rupa Goswami has given us this mantra to offer to Lord Chaitanya when we come before the deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We offer this prayer. And we offer a prayer to Lord Nityananda that he is the crest jewel of all the avadutas, brahmanas. And he gives this very special potency in the holy name of the Lord. Nityananda maham nomi savananda karam param harinama param devim avaduta sirominim. And to Krishna we can offer so many prayers. Namo Brahmanya Devaya. Actually Lord Chaitanya offered this Namo Brahmanya Devaya prayer to Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri. And to Krishna we can learn the prayers of the Acharyas, of Queen Kunti, of Rupa Goswami, of so many different prayers and glorification, bona fide prayers and glorification of Radha and Krishna. And in this way we become more attracted, more attached to the deities and more attracted to the process of Krishna consciousness. And we begin to develop a sense of becoming the servant of the Lord. And that is the real message that we get today from the seventh canto of Bhagavatam. This pastime of Lord Nrisimhadev teaches us that we're servants of God, that we are jivare swarupa hoy nityare Krishna das, that we're forgotten our original constitutional position as a servant of God. And this pastime, where Prahlad Maharaji appears as a Shuddha Bhakta, there are different pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam, and Prahlad, he appears from the beginning as a pure devotee. Dhruva Maharaj offers prayers, but he does tapasya, but really his offering, his motivation is to as in a form of revenge to get back, to get something material. But then he becomes purified and he's completely transformed and lamenting that he was thinking that he wanted a kingdom bigger than his great-grandfather. But actually he was praying for this, but he realized that it was useless, it was material, it was temporary, something that is not sustainable. But Prahlad Maharaj, from the very beginning, he's praying this to the Supreme Lord. From the very beginning, he's Komarat Acharyat Pragyo Dharmam Bhagavataniya. From the beginning, he's not interested in playing ball games with his friends. He's preaching to his friends, and we'll read that something today in that chapter. So this is the main point that we want to take away today, that we are somehow or other get the message that we are Svabritya Britya Paricharatya Britya Britya Mukunda Malastotra. King Kulasekhar, he prays that the perfection of his life, Majjanmana, will be that when Mukunda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, accepts me as a servant of the 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 servant, that will be perfection of life, that we become servants of God. Das, das anudas. That is the safest position in the material world, to realize that we're servants of God. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. We have in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj appears, Nrsingadev appears, and there are 10 chapters dedicated to this pastime of the supreme appearance of Lord Nrsingadev. That much in the Bhagavatam for the Lord Nrsingadev. So there's a lot of nectar to churn here today. Of course, we don't do it all in the next half an hour or 45 minutes. But I've selected a series of sections in these 10 chapters, and hopefully we'll develop we'll prepare ourselves for the appearance of Lord Nrsinga. And the description of Lord Nrsingadev's appearance, many of you have read, some of you haven't read, but the description of Lord Nrsingadev's appearance is in the sixth or seventh chapter. No, sorry. Where does he appear? In the eighth chapter, the Lord slays the king of the demons. And it's very, very graphically described by Śrīla Vyāsadeva and beautifully translated by Śrīla Prabhupāda. So we want to stay tuned for that description. Even if you sleep right up to then, I'll wake you up for the description, because the description is the highlight of the morning's meditation in the Śrīmad Bhāgavatam. That we meditate, we'll hear a description of this wonderful form, Arbhuta Rupam, of Lord Nrsingadeva. Okay, so it begins the first chapter of the seventh canto. And the chapter is entitled, The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. And this is a bewildering question or a bewildering concept. That if Krishna is, if he's equal to everybody, how is it that he always seems to team up with the demigods? And how is it that the demons are always, not always, but many times the demons are defeated, and then Krishna comes to the protection of his devotees? How can that be impartiality? That's the question that's being asked in Bhagavatam. How is that impartial? It doesn't seem impartial to me. It doesn't seem logical. It seems like he's favoring the devotees. So Parikshit Maharaj asked the question to Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami, He became ecstatic by that question. Sometimes somebody asks you a question and you feel ecstasy. So he felt very ecstatic that you asked such a nice question, because you asked this question, now you're going to get a 10-chapter answer to my question. Such a good question you asked. Such a nice question. And you're not the only person who asked that question. Many people asked that same question or had the same question and didn't ask the question, but they have heard response. And Yudhisthira Maharaj had the same question. And he refers to Yudhisthira Maharaj. He says, actually, Yudhisthira Maharaj asked the same question to Narada Muni because he was perplexed. How is it that Krishna he's equal to everybody, but sometimes he kills people? How can that mean that he's impartial if he's killing somebody? That means he's got enemies. He must have some enemies. And Yudhisthira Maharaj asked particularly about Shishupala, a previous incarnation, or another incarnation, not a previous, another incarnation of Lord Nrisimhadev, Shishupala and Dantavakra of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. He said, Shishupal, before he could even speak, he was blaspheming Krishna. Yudhisthira Maharaj said. He couldn't speak properly, but the first words he said were blasphemy of Krishna. He couldn't speak. He definitely couldn't crawl. And he was blaspheming Krishna before he could walk and talk. And this person is so sinful, he's so envious of Krishna. But Yudhisthira Maharaj and many other great souls, they saw his soul go into the body of Krishna, to merge into the body of Krishna at the Rajasuya sacrifice. How is that he got this liberation? He was liberated by Krishna and merged. And so Narada Muni explains that actually this is the impartiality of the Lord. That no matter how we meditate on Krishna, Kamsa by his fear, he was meditating on the Lord in anger and fear. He was fearful of Krishna. That this is the eighth child of Devaki who's going to kill him. He is in meditation and fear. And Shishupala out of extreme envy. And the gopis out of their desire to enjoy with Krishna. Out of lust, it says. And different personalities, by different motivation, they meditate upon Krishna, the Supreme Lord. And they achieve wonderful destination. Putana offered a breast to Krishna with poison to kill Krishna. And she was given the position as one of Krishna's mothers in the spiritual world. She became a mother of Krishna. So Narada Muni says that this is the impartiality of the Lord, that Krishna, he's very, very, has a special affection for his devotees, for sure. Just like a father may have a special affection for his son or for his daughters. But he may have some other higher purpose, some other purpose, some ministerial or managerial position in society. And he may be responsible for the care and the protection and the nurturing of many children or many citizens, many prajas. But there will be a natural affection and connectedness, closeness to his own son or his own daughter. So Krishna has that same connect with the devotees. In the ninth canto of Bhagavatam, we hear that sadhava hridayam mayam sadhunam hridayam tvaham maranyate na jananti naham tebyo managapi. This is this is Lord Vishnu speaking to Devasa Muni. Devasa Muni is racing around the universe trying to get shelter. He's being chased by Sudarsan Chakra because of his offense to Maharaj Ambarish. And Lord Vishnu says to him that you can't take shelter here. You can't get shelter anywhere because you made a Vaishnava aparad. You committed an offense to the lotus feet of Maharaj Ambarish. So you can't take shelter anywhere. But he said, the reason why is because there's such a close relationship between Krishna and his devotees. And Prahlad and Maharaj Ambarish is so dear to Krishna that you have made a big mistake by blaspheming this person who's very, very close to Krishna. Krishna can't think of anybody else but him, and you blasphemed him, so you don't have any shelter. So this is very much the reason, one of the explanations of the impartiality of the Lord. He's very dear to the devotees. He's very, very close with his devotees, but he considers everybody his devotee, Krishna. But we're at different stages of realization of that connectedness with Krishna, that I'm a servant of God. And we want to get to that position, and that's a position that Prahlad Maharaj is teaching to his classmates in the Gurukula. If you go to the... We'll talk about that when we get to the Gurukula. So, that is the Supreme Lord is equal to all. That is that's the background of this pastime. How is it that he gets involved in these and takes side with the devotees? And then in the next chapter, we hear how the glories of Hiranyakashipu. Because at the end of this chapter, it's explained how Jaya and Vijaya come to this material world. And then there's a description of Hiranyakashipu as the king of the demons. And how he wants to take revenge because of the death of his brother, Hiranyaksha, at the hands of Lord Varaha. And now Hiranyakashipu has developed this intense hatred for Vishnu. And he orders his followers, he orders them to go down to this material world, and wherever Brahminical culture, wherever you can see recitation of Vedas, wherever you can see cow protection, wherever you can see the Brahminical culture, any semblance of Brahminical culture, then you should destroy that place. Kill all the brahmanas, stop all the yagyas, kill the cows, and uproot the trees, the auspicious trees that are bearing fruits, mangoes and jackfruit. Pull them all out of the ground. Everything you can do, destroy the water, pollute the water, do everything to make a big, harass this, the followers of Lord Vishnu. And then Hiranyakashipu, he displays his intelligence and he tries to, he's pacifying the family members for the loss of his brother. And he gives this very enlightened philosophical discourse about the eternality of the soul. And there are many references cited there. Yamaraj appears and there are many analogies of different personalities who came to lament the death of a body, but the body is lying, the death of a soul, but the body is lying there. The soul has moved on. And that chapter finishes with this knowledge that we shouldn't lament for the passing of the body, but the soul is eternal. And a quote, Prabhupada quotes from Mahabharata, it's Yamaraj, when he asked Yudhisthira Maharaj, what is the most amazing thing in this material world? And he says that ahani ahani bhutani gacchanti ha yamalayam, that every day so many people are going to the drawers of Yamaraj, to the abode of Yamaraj, but we don't stop to think that we will be next. We don't prepare for death. Every day we see death around us, but we don't prepare for death. That is the most amazing thing. That's amazing, right? That was the response. So this chapter finishes up there. Hiranyakashipu, after instructing his foolish relatives, he prepares to become immortal. Now he goes to perform his tapasya. And he becomes so powerful that the demigods become disturbed. And they approach Lord Brahma. Because he's a devotee of Lord Brahma. Hiranyakashipu. He's glorifying Lord Brahma as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the origin of everything. And Lord Brahma appears to him and he blesses him. He splashes his water from the Kamandalu and his body is rejuvenated. And he blesses him. He gives him a benediction to become practically immortal, almost immortal. And then we take it up here. There's chapter 5 where we're going to begin reading some of the translations and purports and discuss this pastime of the appearance of Lord Shingadev. This is chapter 5, Canto 7, chapter 5, Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. The great saint Narada Muni said, "The demons headed by Hiranyakashipu accepted Shukracharya as their priest for ritualistic ceremonies. Shukracharya's two sons, Shanda and Amarga, lived near Hiranyakashipu's palace. Prahlad Maharaj was already educated in devotional life, but when his father sent him to those two sons of Shukracharya to be educated, they accepted him as at their school along with the other sons of the Asuras." If you go to Ahovalam, there's a very special holy place in Andhra Pradesh, in South India, called Ahovalam. And here there's 9 main temples of Lord Nrsingadev. Lord Nrsingadev in different features. There's a yoga Nrsinga. Lord Nrsingadev is in yoga asana. He's doing urban yoga. Well, not actually urban yoga. He's doing this yoga in the forest, and he's teaching Prahlad different asanas. And there's Hasya Nrsinga. There's a form of Nrsinga, he's laughing. He's not killing Hiranyakashipu. Well, he's laughing then too, but he's laughing in this Hasya Nrsinga Rupa form. And there is Divya Nrsinga, Transcendental Nrsinga, and there's Ugra Nrsinga. This form, this very ferocious form of Nrsingadev, with many arms and many weapons. So if you go to this place near the Ugra Stamba, there's a place where Lord Nrsingadev appears from the pillar in Ahovalam. And that pillar is not like this pillar here. It's very nice pillars, but they're like Nrsingadev doesn't appear from a pillar like this small. This Ugra Nrsinga, this Ugra Stamba, is a mountain. Like, it's a very, very high mountain. And it just goes up, a vertical mountain, so you don't get a nice incline. You can climb to the top of this mountain. We climb to the top. But it's a little unsafe to climb, and it should be done during the daytime, not at night. Because at nighttime, there's dangerous animals there on the mountain. Maybe some lions are there too. Tigers are there on the mountain. So we got stuck up there in the night time. And we were praying to Lord Nrsingadev. Lord Nrsingadev made us stuck up there for some time, so we had no option but to sing these Lord Nrsingadev prayers for protection. One time we were in Nepal and we were on a mountain. The same similar thing. It seems whenever I go on mountains, I seem to go at the wrong time of the day. So we went up to the top of this mountain in Nepal, and there was a Buddhist ashram there. It was a very interesting place we went to. Many, many Buddhists were there. There was a big Buddhist leader. He was there. So there was 300 or 400 Buddhist monks reciting this Pali text, Buddhist text. It was very nice. We sat in there with them. They're all shaved up and in robes. So we sat there, Brahmacharya sitting next to all the monks and feeling spiritual on the top of the mountain, you know, with all the Buddhists. And we wanted to speak to the leader of the Buddhists. So he kept us waiting a long time. Finally we got to speak to him. And then it became dark. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun was going on the other side of the mountain. So it's already getting dark, and you shouldn't be on the mountain. It's illegal to be up there. So we had to start running down the mountain, a steep mountain. There was 4 or 5 of us, and we got stuck there, and it became dark, and it's dangerous there because they have wild boars, big, big pigs, and the path is small. When you walk around the mountain, it's small like this. And you can get tipped over the side. So sometimes you can hear the bushes rustling, you know, and the branches breaking and cracking. And then you can smell something bad come. And then you know that there's a big boar coming your way. So get on the side. We saw one boar. He came, brushed by us. You could feel the hairs on his body, brushed by us. And the devotee you were with, he started reciting this prayers to Lord Varaha. Lucky we were with him. He knew these prayers for Lord Varaha from Bhagavatam. So he was reciting them, and we came down safely to the base camp. Actually, the army came up to get us. They have different posts on the way down. The police came and they chastised us, and they wanted to fine us. But we told we're monks, we don't have any money. So they let us go. But they got very angry with us. So the same thing happened in Nepal, in Ahovalam. It got dark there quite quickly. And we were stuck on the mountain. And there's a lot of tigers there. There's boars there. There was tigers here. And that person who's the guide, he takes people up every day to the Ugrastamba. But he never came back in the dark time before. He did it since he was a boy. He always went up to Ugrastamba every day. It was just like walking down to South Melbourne Market or something. That's what he does. He just walks every day to the top of Ugrastamba and back down. So he's a real Nrisinga Bhakta. And this place, Ahovalam, is not commercial. It's not a commercialized holy place. Like many holy places you go to, and there's pandas waiting for you to get there. And you do have to give a lot of dakshin, right? If you don't give dakshin, they curse you to do this and that. But this place is not like that. No one's there waiting for you. When you go there, there's only 3 or 4 shops. No paraphernalia shops, nothing. No devotional kurtas, dhoti, nothing like that. Just peaceful. Everybody's there for pilgrimage. And when you go there, there's 9 temples to see. It's part of this Divya Deshas of Ramananda Sampradaya. So when you go there, you don't even have fancy hotels. You just have some dharmashalas and sleep on the floor in this place. And you have some rasam, some rice and rasam, and then more rice and rasam. You have to like rasam if you go to this place. You just eat rice there. Maybe some sambar for variety. So this is a very beautiful holy place to visit, very pure and uncontaminated, and it's in the mountains. So there's not many buildings. You're in nature. You don't know where you are. And there's huge mountains and big valleys and tribal people, all tribal people there, and all bhaktas of Lord Nrisingadev. And you find Nrisingadev in caves, and you find him everywhere. And you walk up these... We were there, it wasn't the rainy season, so the riverbed is all dry. And you walk up the riverbed, up the mountains, up the riverbeds. And we had some old people with us in that group, you know, in the 80s, walking up the riverbed with us, old ladies, men. And some of the ladies, the reason why we got stuck on the stumper, because some of them, they were so determined to come up, they wanted to come up. And the guide is saying, you can't come up, you know, you're too old, you won't make it up. You will hold us up, we'll get stuck. And they were very determined, and they tucked up their saris and said, we're going. So, what can you say to her? Old lady. So they went. But they came up with us, and they kept us up there for too long, because it was hard for them to walk in their sari to get up the top like this. So, but on the way we saw this Gurukula. There was a big rock plateau and caves behind. And there that was the Gurukula of Prahlad Maharaj, where he instructed his classmates on this mountain. And they had some nice classrooms there for Prahlad and his students. Open classroom, open plan living like this. Very open and very natural. Looking over a beautiful valley in the mountains. So Prahlad Maharaj, he heard and recited the topics. In this Gurukula, they teach this Trivagagana. They teach about religion, economic development, and sense gratification. They leave out moksha. They don't teach about liberation. They teach about how to be good sense gratifiers. So Prahlad heard and recited the topics of politics and economics taught by the teachers, but he understood that political philosophy involves considering someone a friend and someone else an enemy. And thus, Prahlad did not like this. "My dear King Yudhisthira, once upon a time, the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, took his son on his lap and very affectionately inquired, 'My dear son, please let me know what you think is the best of all the subjects you have studied from your teachers in the Gurukul.'" This is the first time Hiranyakashipu asks Prahlad this question. He asked three times. This first time. If we ask Hayagriva, "What is the best thing you learnt in school?" What was it?
To serve everybody.
To serve everybody. Arivo! Right? He's going to good Gurukul. What about Gopi? What is the best thing you learnt in school? To make everybody learn Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. It's good Gurukul. Who's your teacher, Gopi? Your mother. Hare Bol. She's a very good teacher. But Prahlad didn't get good teachers like that. Prahlad had a different teacher. You know Prahlad's teacher? Who he was? Sanda and Amarka. They're not teaching anybody about Krishna. In fact, they don't like Krishna. These teachers hate Krishna. If you say Krishna, they get very upset. So Prahlad Maharaj said to his father said, "What is the best thing you learned in school?" Sometimes your father asks that, right? "What did mummy teach you today?" He will ask, and then you tell him nice things. Don't say, "He taught me how to be diplomatic and taught me about..." You tell him that she taught me to serve Krishna. So Prahlad says this in a very nice way. Asura Vadya Dehinam. He says, "O best of the Asuras, king of the demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and a temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well, the Andakupam, where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." This is not what Prahlad learned from Sanda and Amarka. He learned from another teacher. He learned from Narada Muni. But Hiranyakashipu was expecting that. He's a small boy, Prabhupada says, and he doesn't have any experience. He might reply with something pleasing, but nothing practical. So Hayagriva and Gopika, they respond with something pleasing and practical. We're happy to hear, and it's practical to make everybody chant Hare Krishna, to serve Krishna. It's a practical thing. But Hiranyakashipu was thinking, he'll just say something cute, and that's all right. That I learned how to cheat somebody. So he says here, Prahlad Maharaj, however, being an exalted devotee, had acquired all the qualities of education. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavata kinchana. One who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna consistently manifests all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods. However, he who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no good qualifications because he is engaged by mental concoction in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord. So-called educated philosophers and scientists who are simply on the mental platform cannot distinguish between what is actually sat, eternal, and what is asat, temporary. The Vedic injunction is asato ma jyoti gama. Everyone should give up the platform of temporary existence and approach the eternal platform. The soul is eternal, and topics concerning the eternal soul are actually knowledge. Elsewhere it is said, apasyatam atmatattvam griheshu grihamedinam. Those who are attached to the bodily conception of life and who thus stick to life as a grihastha or householder on the platform of material sense enjoyment cannot see the welfare of the eternal soul. Prahlad Maharaj confirmed this by saying that if one wants success in life, he should immediately understand from the right sources what is his self-interest and how he should mold his life in spiritual consciousness. One should understand himself to be a part and parcel of Krishna and thus completely take shelter of the lotus feet of the guaranteed spiritual success. Everyone in the material world is in the bodily conception, struggling hard for existence, life after life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore recommended that to stop this material condition of repeated birth and death, one should go to the forest, vana. And Prabhupada mentions here we should particularly go to Vrindavan. And here is the temple is non-different to Vrindavan. And the devotees were taught to make our homes into a temple. In fact, we put on the tilak after we take bath and we are anointing the body as a temple. The body is a walking temple. And in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, it says that wherever the Vaishnava is, that is a temple, that place is a tirtha. Tirtha kurvanti tirthani. Wherever the devotees are, that place becomes a holy place. So, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, don't stay in this darkness, griham, andakupam. Yeah? Prabhupada is stuck. He says, who thus stick to the life of grihastha. One other, you can hear in grihastha, this, it's one devotee here has this saying that it's grihastak. Stick to the life of grihastha means you're stuck in the grihastha. He's a grihastaka. He's a grihastaka. Stuck there in the grihastha. But we have to become free from that understanding and create a temple, the vanam in the house. Make the house into a holy place. So from the Brahmastan, we take out the big flat screen and we put Krishna. We put some altar, we put some form of the Lord so that we can meditate on Krishna and not meditate on the AFL or the whatever it is here. Now they're playing other games. That's the goal of our, that's Prahlad Maharaj's recommendation. And we should do it from the beginning, like our children here and in the temple. From the beginning they come and hear about Krishna and they're exposed to Krishna right from the beginning to make their life auspicious. So Hiranyakashipu wasn't happy. When Prahlad Maharaj spoke about the path of self-realization and devotional service, thus being faithful to the camp of his father's enemies, Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, heard Prahlad's words and laughingly said, "This is the intelligence of children spoiled by the words of the enemy." And then he advises the Sandonamaka to make sure that this boy doesn't become further influenced by any Vaishnavas. So keep an eye out for any Vaishnavas that might come to the school. Prabhupada says in the purport, "In our Krishna consciousness movement, the tactic of dressing oneself like an ordinary kami is necessary because everyone in the demoniac kingdom is against the Vaishnava teachings. Krishna consciousness is not at all to the liking of the demons of the present age. As soon as they see a Vaishnava dressed in saffron garments with beads on his neck and tilak on his forehead, they are immediately irritated. They criticize the Vaishnavas by sarcastically saying, 'Hare Krishna,' and some people also chant Hare Krishna sincerely. In either case, since Hare Krishna is absolute, whether one chants it jokingly or sincerely, it will have its effect. The Vaishnavas are pleased when the demons chant Hare Krishna, because this shows that the Hare Krishna movement is taking ground. The greater demons like Hiranyakashipu are always prepared to chastise the Vaishnavas, and they try to make arrangements so that the Vaishnavas will not come to sell their books and preach Krishna consciousness." Thus, what was done by Hiranyakashipu long, long ago is still being done. That is the way of materialistic life. Demons or materialists do not at all like the advancement of Krishna consciousness, and they try to hinder it in many ways. But the preachers of Krishna consciousness must go forward in their Vaishnava dress or any other dress for the purpose of preaching. Chanaka Pandit says that if an honest person deals with a great cheater, it is necessary for him to become a cheater also, not for the purpose of cheating, but to make his preaching successful. So Sundra and Amaka, they took Prahlad back and they instructed him. First of all, they got very upset with him and they called for a stick and they were chastising him. Where did you get this from? You're going to ruin our name. Your father will think we're not good in teaching, that we're not teaching the proper things. We don't like Vaishnava. We don't like Vaishnavism. We don't like Vishnu, Krishna. How did you get this? And then Prahlad is very obstinate and he keeps going. And his response to Sandanamaka is more preaching. He just keeps preaching. He says, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He continues to go, Tasmai Bhagavate Namaha. And he gives a series of glorifications of Krishna to Sandanamaka, fearlessly. And he explains how he got this attraction. It's a natural attraction. He's had this attraction eternally. So that did not fare well. Then Prahlad, in the next section, after some time the teacher Sandanamaka thought that Prahlad was sufficiently educated in the diplomatic affairs of pacifying public leaders, appeasing them by giving them lucrative posts, dividing and ruling over them, and punishing them in case of disobedience. Then one day, after Prahlad's mother had personally washed the boy and dressed him nicely with sufficient ornaments, they presented him before his father. Second time. When Hiranyakashipu saw that his child had fallen at his feet and was offering obeisances as an affectionate father, he immediately began showering blessings upon the child and embraced him with both arms. A father naturally feels happy to embrace his son, and Hiranyakashipu became very happy in this way. Hiranyakashipu says, my dear Prahlad, my dear son, O long-lived one, for so much time you have heard many things from your teachers. Now please repeat to me whatever you think is the best of that knowledge. And this is where we get the famous Shravanam Kirtanam. So again, he says to his father. First, he told his father that you should go to the forest. Don't be bewildered by the well of materialistic household life. Now he's going to say to, and he's gone back, and he's heard so many things from his teachers, and he comes out with Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Bandhanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam Iti Pumsarpita Vishnu Bhaktis Chen Navalakshana Kriyate Bhagavatyada Tanmanye ditam uttamam. So Prahlad says to his father, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful obeisances, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, surrendering everything unto him. These nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. And this is one of Prabhupada's longest purports. I think it's the longest purport in the Bhagavatam. It's about 12 pages or more. And there he defines each of the items of bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. And Prabhupada says, chronologically in order, Shravanam's first and it's the most important. Sometimes we hear that chanting's the most important, but he says, first of all, we have to hear. First, there must be input for us to give output, and then Smadhanam. And he quotes Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and different acharyas. And interestingly enough, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, his explanation of Smaranam is that Smaranam means to understand. So you hear and you recite and then you understand the Lord. Instead of taking the literal translation of remembrance, for him remembrance means understanding, that we understand who is Krishna, or who is what is our spiritual nature. So after hearing this from the mouth of Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry. His lips trembling, he spoke as follows to Sundar, the son of Guru and Shukracharya. And then he chastises them, but they defend themselves. And when Hiranyakashipu received this reply from the teacher, he again addressed his son Prahlad. So he goes back to Prahlad, because the teachers defend themselves. And he calls Prahlad a rascal, most fallen of our family. If you have not received this education from your teachers, where have you gotten it? And then there's three verses here that Prahlad offers to his father in response, again fearlessly. And these verses Prabhupada recited to John Lennon and Yoko Ono and George Harrison on their first meeting in Tittenhurst when the devotees were staying with the Beatles, with John Lennon, in 1968, I guess, in London. Prabhupada had a meeting with these very, very famous musicians. And Prabhupada there, he said that he was very cordial and greeting them. And then he said to them that actually Krishna consciousness is also musical. You can express your musical talents in Krishna consciousness. And that our Vedic literature is actually sung. And he refers to the Samaveda, where the Samaveda has these very elongated verses of recitation. And then he starts to recite these verses. You can hear this lecture. It's a recorded conversation. And Prabhupada recites this verse, Matina Krishne Parato Svatova Mitobi Padyata Griha Vratanam Adandago Bidi Vishatam Tamishlam Puna Punas Chavita Chavananam. And the next two verses. Prahlad says, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations toward Krishna are never aroused, either by instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. Prabhupada explains that Prahlad is saying this to his father, saying, don't worry, you won't become Krishna conscious. You can't become Krishna conscious by your own endeavor, by the instructions of others, or by a combination of both. It depends upon the mercy of the Lord, the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And then he quotes this verse, he recites this verse, Natevidu Svata Gatim Hi Vishnum. That people don't understand what is the destination, the ultimate destination of life is to achieve Lord Vishnu. And unless we smear upon the bodies the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas, we can't become successful in our attempts to become free from the contamination of this material world. Then Hiranyakashipu orders his men to kill him. This is too much for him. This is not right. He doesn't like to hear this. So he orders them to kill Prahlad. And no matter what they do, they can't kill him. Prahlad takes shelter of Krishna and is completely protected. And then this incites Hiranyakashipu further, and he's thinking, how is it that my son, he's such a small boy that he can withstand this torture. Whatever we give to him, the demons are attacking him with spears and all sorts of weapons and throwing him in pits of snakes and under the feet of elephants and throwing him over a cliff and into fire, and nothing can affect this boy. So he becomes very confused. And then at the end, the teachers, Sandra Namaka, say, don't worry, to Hiranyakashipu. Shukracharya will be here soon. Their father will be here. The senior Acharya will be coming. And he will straighten up Prahlad. So just give us another chance. So they take Prahlad back again. Prahlad goes back for another session in the Gurukula. And they're not successful. At that time, Prahlad starts preaching to his classmates. And during the breaks and lunchtime and after school and before school, before classes, Prahlad is teaching his friends about the eternal nature of the soul, and they're all becoming enlightened, and they like to hear more and more about Krishna, and they start to chant the holy name, and this is not very pleasing to Sandunamaka, and so they went and they told Hiranyakashipu that this is the situation, that his whenever they go home, Prahlad starts preaching to his classmates. And there's a long chapter on that. And then there's a chapter that explains where he learned all this knowledge from Narada Muni in the womb of his mother at the ashram of Narada Muni. And then we get to the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev. So here it is in the 8th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7. The Lord slays the king of the demons. Narada Muni continued, all the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlad Maharaj and took them very seriously. They rejected the materialistic instructions given by their teachers, Shanda and Amaka. So the whole Gurukul are following Prahlad now, and they rejected their teachers. We have a devotee in Auckland. We were just recently in Auckland, and we went to visit some friends. And she's a teacher in an early childhood center. And she has a small boy, Arjuna. And this boy, he's like four years old. Maybe like Hayagriva and Gopika. He's about this age, 4 years. And he's going to school, and the boy is going to that same school as the mother teaches. It's a big school, a very big early childhood center. And they have maybe 6 classrooms or 8 classrooms of early childhood children. And so they have different teachers and different places. So Arjuna gets placed into one of the classrooms. And sometimes, like all young children, he cries. And the teachers, this boy, really, when he cries, if you chant Hare Krishna, he stops crying. Right? Really. He's crying like anything, and you chant Hare Krishna, he stops crying. Arjuna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. And he starts smiling, and he starts chanting. So the mother told, you know, when he gets upset, you just chant Hare Krishna to the teachers. And the teachers say, well, how do you chant Hare Krishna? We don't know Hare Krishna, because they're not devoted teachers, right? So they say, all right, so she gave them a lesson in chanting Hare Krishna. So they said, chant Hare Krishna. So the Hare Krishna, and all the teachers, Hare Krishna. And this is Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So they have like this professional development program happening at this early childhood center in how to chant Hare Krishna. So then there's the Godhead, and they say, well, you know, what kind of tune, what melody should we sing it? And she said, any melody you come up with, that's good. You don't know melody, it doesn't matter. Just chant Hare Krishna, and he'll be happy. So then he starts crying. After the lesson, he starts crying. So his teacher, who's got him, then she starts singing, Hare Krishna, like this. And then Arjuna jumps up, and he starts smiling like anything. So, wow, it worked. Just 2 mantras, and he's already happy. So he went back, all right, don't have to finish. Then he started getting some problem with some kids. Someone took his truck or something. So he starts crying. So then the teacher starts chanting Hare Krishna again. Really, this happened many times. And then all the teachers, because he goes to different teachers, so they all have to learn Hare Krishna. So all the teachers in the school chant Hare Krishna. And then at break time, they come in and say, did you chant Hare Krishna today? You know, how do you chant Hare Krishna? And they're sharing each other different melodies, and they're giving some. I got this from YouTube. You can look at this. You know, so they're doing their own research on chanting Hare Krishna, how they can improve. And then he does. They have the session in the early childhood center called, like, it's free play, so the children can do it. It's free form, whatever they like. Not they have to learn mathematics, and they're 4. So this, especially in the West, it's a bit chilled out. Not in India, they have to learn their phonics at 4. But in the West, it's a bit different. So I have free play. So he's doing free play. And the free play is, okay, he gets all the boys there. And he does yagya. So the free play is that he's teaching his friends how to do yagya. So they're all sitting around this yagya kund. He makes out of the blocks, he makes a kund, like this. So he makes a nice 3-step kund, like this. He saw his father do like this. So he's here. This boy is half Chinese. This is even better. He's half Chinese. He's got fully Chinese eyes, right? He looks like someone from Malaysia or something like that. And he wears like chada, everything paka, like a brahmana, Chinese brahmana. And his mother's from Nepal and his father's from Malaysia. So he's got fully Chinese looking. And He's got his friends there, his four, right? And he sits like this at the Yagya Kund. He's made this big kund. And they offer they cut up all this paper, like they scrumple this paper, and they offer this oblations into the fire, and they make a fire in there, sticks in the kund, everything. And then he says, all right, when I do the mantra, you have to say swaha. So he says, Om Krishnaya, and they say swaha. And then he says, no, you have to say louder. Louder swaha. And they say swaha, swaha. And so she said this, she told us that she's listening. She heard all these kids saying swaha, swaha, swaha through the early childhood center. And she didn't tell him to do like this. So she went and see what happened. She saw a Yagya Kund there and all the boys. And she said every day they do, in free play, they do Yagya. And they all come up to him and say, Arjuna, let's do Yagya. We want to do Yagya. Now they don't want to do dress up or anything. Before they were playing Harry Potter and different things. Now they want to do Yagya. Every day. Swaha. So they're chanting Hare Krishna. They're reciting Swaha. And he teaches many things. He teaches them singing also. Different. He taught them the Shinga prayers. He's a very amazing kid. When he went there, first we ran into the house. We haven't seen them for a long time. I haven't been there for a few years. So, and he was offering his obeisances to the sliding door was open in the balcony. He was offering obeisances. And I was looking out there, who's out there? No one out there. He's offering obeisances to the sliding door, open side. I said to his mother, what is he doing? And she said, I don't know, he's just doing obeisances. So he kept coming down and coming up, coming down, and offering full dandabats. And he said he was offering obeisances to Lord Nrisingadev. And we said, where's Lord Nrisingadev? He said, Nrisingadev is in the sky. Lord Nrisingadev is everywhere. Ito Nrisingha, Parato Nrisingha. He always offers obeisances because Nrisingadev is everywhere. He's all over the place. So he's a very amazing kid. Probably taught by Prahlad Maharaj maybe in last life at this Gurukul. So Sandanamaka, they weren't happy with this instructions. Where did we get to? When Sandanamaka, the sons of Shukacharya, observed that all the students of the sons of the demons were becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness because of the association of Prahlad Maharaj, they were afraid. They approached the king of the demons and described the situation as it was. When Hiranyakashipu understood the entire situation, he was extremely angry, so much so that his body trembled. Thus, he finally decided to kill his son, Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was by nature very cruel, and feeling insulted, he began hissing like a snake, trampled upon by someone's foot. His son Prahlad was peaceful, mild and gentle. His senses were under control and he stood before Hiranyakashipu with folded hands. According to Prahlad's age and behavior, he was not to be chastised. Yet, with staring, crooked eyes, Hiranyakashipu rebuked him with the following harsh words. He said, O most impudent, most unintelligent disruptor of the family, O lowest of mankind, you have violated my power to rule you, and therefore you are an obstinate fool. Today I shall send you to the place of Yamaraj. My son Prahlad, you rascal, you know that when I am angry, all the planets of the three worlds tremble, along with their chief rulers. But by whose power has a rascal like you become so impudent that you appear fearless and overstep my power to rule you? Prahlad Maharaj said, My dear king, the source of my strength of which you are asking is also the source of yours. Indeed, the original source of all kinds of strength is one. He is not only your strength or mine, but the only strength for everyone. Without him, no one can get any strength. Whether moving or not moving, superior or inferior, everyone, including Lord Brahma, is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme controller and time factor, is the power of the senses, the power of the mind, the power of the body, and the vital force of the senses. His influence is unlimited. He is the best of all living entities, the controller of the three modes of material nature. By his own power, he creates this cosmic manifestation, maintains it, and annihilates it also. Prahlad Maharaj continued, My father, please give up your demoniac mentality. Do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. Make your mind equipoised toward everyone. Except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind, there is no enemy within this world. One who sees everyone on the platform of equality, one then comes to the position of worshipping the Lord perfectly. Hiranyakashipu replies, "You rascal, you are trying to minimize my value as if you were better than me at controlling the senses. This is overintelligent. I can therefore understand that you desire to die at my hands, for this kind of nonsensical talk is indulged in by those about to die. O most unfortunate Prahlad, you have always described a supreme being other than me, a supreme being who is above everything, who is the controller of everyone, and who is all-pervading. But where is he? If he is everywhere, then why is he not present before me in this pillar?" Famous last words. Kasmat stambe na drishyate. Why can't he be seen here? Why isn't he in this pillar here? "Because you are speaking so much nonsense, I shall now sever your head from your head from your body. Now let me see your most worshipable God come to protect you. I want to see it." And this is where the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadeva is about to appear. And this is where, from where we get our Nrisimha Pranam Mantra, that he appears from this column and he starts to rip apart the heart of Hiranyakashipu. While showing his extraordinary prowess, Hiranyakashipu, who desired to kill his own son, heard that wonderful, tumultuous sound which had never been heard before. Upon hearing the sound, the other leaders of the demons were afraid. None of them could find the origin of that sound in the assembly. And if you go to a holy room, you see the massive stumbra. You can imagine the sound that it would make if Krishna comes out of this stumbra, out of this mountain, shaking the earth and creating havoc in the planetary systems. Prabhupada quotes Gita 7:8, Rasoham apsukonteya parabasmi shashi sudayaha pranava sabavedishu shabda ke porushandrishu. O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in Vedic mantra. I am the sound in ether and the ability in man. Here the Lord exhibited his presence everywhere by the tumultuous sound in the sky, Shabda Ke. To prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. And this is the form that has become very famous in so many places around the world. One time when we were visiting in Cambodia, we went to see this Angkor Wat, this very amazing temple, or ancient temple made according to Vastu. And there they had the churning of the milk ocean and all sorts of amazing reliefs carved into the side of the mountain, into the side of these temples on the walls. And there you can see many tourists from all over the world, Japanese tourists and Chinese tourists and Australian tourists and everywhere, tourists from everywhere, big tourist industry. And the Lord is not worshipped there anymore, but he was worshipped there in grand style. It's a very beautiful temple. And there's a token Lord Buddha there. It's a Vishnu temple, but they've got some token Lord Buddha there, and they make some incense or something. But he's not very prominent in the scale of things at the temple. It's the biggest temple in the world, biggest temple complex in the world. And you have all these guides, Cambodian guides, and they learn all the languages. They learn Russian and Italian and Spanish and English and every language in the world they can speak. And they tell what's happening in this on these reliefs, on these carvings. This is the churning of the milk ocean, his Lakshmi, his Uchashreva. They tell the whole pastime from Bhagavatam in Chinese and Spanish and in Japanese. And they're Cambodian guides. And they don't know anything about this Srimad Bhagavatam or Krishna or anything. But they learn this because it's good money for them, right? They're tour guides, so they're making good money. And all day they just speak Krishna Katha. They're always telling about this. And we got the, you know, the Lonely Planet guidebook or whatever it is. And we have found out that there's a Nrsingadev temple there. And we wanted to find this Nrsingadev temple. There were little temples around the main temple. And we couldn't find it anywhere. And I heard this Cambodian guy, he's talking to a big group of Japanese tourists in Japanese. I don't know Japanese, but I heard him say, Hiranyakashipu. And I thought, wow, this must be the temple of Lord Nrsingadev. So I looked up, and on the above the arch of the door, there was a beautiful carving of Lord Nrsingadev with Hiranyakashipu on his lap. And he was ripping him apart with his nails. So we found Lord Nrsingadev there in Angkor Wat. And you'll see Nrsingadev deities all over India. The first deity that was worshipped in ISKCON of Lord Nrsingadev was gifted to a devotee in Fiji in the early 70s, 19s, whenever Prabhupada first went there, I think 71 maybe, something like that. One devotee was gifted Lord Nrsingadev, and she's still worshipping that Nrsingadev deity today. That was the first Nrsinga deity in ISKCON. And many devotees have gone on to worship Lord Nrsingadev. And we worship Lord Nrsingadev in very grand style in our Mayapur ISKCON Chandradoya Mandir. Today they'll be doing a Sudarshan Homa probably for Lord Nrsingadev. Very big offering. They do a big yagya for Lord Nrsingadev. Today we're having a yagya also for Lord Nrsingadev. Groundbreaking for the kitchen. And in Mayapur they'll be offering 1,008 oblations. So you have to have strong arms for this one. And today it's in Mayapur, it's Chandan Yatra. So Lord Nrsingadev will be full of Chandan on his body. He's a big stone deity, and he has eight arms. And he's for 5 days, the devotees have been putting Chandan, sandalwood on his body, all over his body. And for Radha Madhava, you'll see every day different Chandan. But for Nrsingadev, they put on top. So he gets thicker and thicker. The Chandan gets nice and thick on his body, and it gets into the grooves of the stone, the carving of the Lord, his armor and different things. So today they'll bathe Lord Nrsingadev in oil. Some of you have got that Nrsinga oil. That oil pretty much comes from today's festival, where they bathe the Lord fully with conches of oil, and they rub that into his body. They first take off the chandan with little picks, get in there into the grooves, and all the devotees will be all over the body of Lord Nrsingadev, scraping off the chandan and making chandan balls. So some of you might have chandan balls also from Lord Nrsingadev. And then after they get all that chandan off, that's a big job, then we bathe the Lord in oil, and then the floor is all oil. If you know, the altar in the Nrsingadev's altar in Mayapur, it's all stone altar. It's all black. Right? The floor's black, the walls are black, the ceiling's black. Black stone. And when the oil is being poured on the deity, the oil goes everywhere. So it's very slippery in there. And you have to be careful what you're doing around Lord Nrsingadev. More careful what you're doing around Lord Nrsingadev. Don't try to take something that's not yours on the altar. That happened one time. No, I didn't try to. Anyway, so that's today in Mayapur. And the Lord Nrsingadev will be bathed, big abhishekam. And there'll be dramas and festival. To prove the statement of his servant, Prahlad Maharaj, was substantial. In other words, to prove the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of the assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor a lion. Sorry, we read that one. While Hiranyakashipu looked around to find the source of the sound, that wonderful form of the Lord, which could not be ascertained by either a man or a lion, emerged from the pillar. In amazement, Hiranyakashipu wondered, what is this creature that is a half man and a half lion? Hiranyakashipu studied the form of the Lord, trying to decide who the form of Nrsingadev standing before him was. The Lord's form was extremely fearsome. because of his angry eyes, which resembled molten gold, his shining mane, which expanded the dimensions of his fearful face, his deadly teeth and his razor-sharp tongue, which moved about like a dueling sword. His ears were erect and motionless, and his nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain. His jaws parted fearfully, and his entire body touched the sky. His neck was very short and thick, his chest broad, his waist thin, and the hairs on his body as white as the rays of the moon. His arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rogues, and atheists with his conch shell, disc, club, lotus, and other natural weapons. Hiranyakashipu murmured to himself, "Lord Vishnu, who possesses great mystic power, has made this plan to kill me. But what is the use of such an attempt?" He still thinks he can beat me. "Who can fight with me?" Thinking like this and taking up his club, Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord like an elephant. Just as a small insect falls forcefully into a fire and the insignificant creature becomes invisible, when Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord, who was full of effulgence, Hiranyakashipu became invisible. This is not at all astonishing, for the Lord is always situated in pure goodness. Formerly, during creation, he entered the dark universe and illuminated it by his spiritual effulgence. Thereafter, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, who was extremely angry, swiftly attacked Nrisingadeva with his club and began to beat him. Lord Nrisingadeva, however, captured the great demon along with his club, just as Garuda might capture a great snake. "O Yudhisthira, O great son of Bharata, when Lord Nrisingadeva gave Hiranyakashipu a chance to slip from his hand, just as Garuda sometimes plays with a snake and lets it slip from its mouth, the demigods, who had lost their abodes and who were hiding behind the clouds for fear of the demon, did not consider that incident very good. Indeed, they were perturbed. When Hiranyakashipu was freed from the hands of Nrisingadeva, he falsely thought that the Lord was afraid of his prowess. Therefore, after taking a little rest from the fight, he took up his sword and shield and again attacked the Lord with great force. Making a loud, shrill sound of laughter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, who is extremely strong and powerful, captured Hiranyakashipu, who was protecting himself with his sword and shield, leaving no gaps open. With the speed of a hawk, Hiranyakashipu moves sometimes in the sky and sometimes on the earth. His eyes close because of fear of Lord Nrisingadeva's laughter. As a snake captures a mouse or Garuda captures a very venomous snake, Lord Nrisingadeva captured Hiranyakashipu, who could not be pierced even by the thunderbolt of King Indra. As Hiranyakashipu moved his limbs here, there, and all around, very much afflicted at being captured, Lord Nrisingadeva placed the demon on his lap, supporting him with his thighs. And in the doorway of the assembly hall, the Lord very easily tore the demon to pieces with the nails of his hand. Lord Nrisingadeva's mouth and mane were sprinkled with drops of blood, and his fierce eyes, full of anger, were impossible to look at. Licking the edge of his mouth with his tongue, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nrisingadeva, decorated with a garland of intestines taken from Hiranyakashipu's abdomen, resembled a lion that had just killed an elephant. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had many, many arms, first uprooted Hiranyakashipu's heart and then threw him aside and turned toward the demon soldiers, not finished yet. These soldiers had come in thousands to fight with him, with raised weapons, and were very faithful followers of Hiranyakashipu. But Lord Nrisingadeva killed all of them, merely with the ends of his nails. The hair on Nrisingadeva's head shook the clouds and scattered them here and there. His glaring eyes stole the effulgence of the luminaries in the sky, and his breathing agitated the seas and the oceans. Because of his roaring, all the elephants in the world began to cry in fear. Airplanes were thrown into outer space in the upper planetary system by the hair on Lord Nrisingadeva's head. Because of the pressure of the Lord's lotus feet, the earth appeared to slip from its position, and all the hills and mountains sprang up due to his intolerable force. Because of the Lord's bodily effulgence, both the sky and all directions diminished in their natural illumination. Manifesting a full effulgence and a fearsome countenance, Lord Nrisingadev, being very angry and finding no contestant to face his power and opulence, then sat down in the assembly hall on the excellent throne of the king. Because of fear and obedience, no one could come forward to serve the Lord directly. In the Hovalam, there's a place where Lord Nrisingadev, after he had ripped out the heart of Hiranyakashipu and begarlanded himself with his intestines, and after he had slaughtered all of the thousands of demons, followers of Hiranyakashipu, he went to this lake and he washed his hands because he had so much blood on him. He washed his hands there and the water became red in this pond. And there you can go there and you can take this water on your head. Devotees drink this water that washed the hands, Lord Nrisingadev's hands at a hovelman. But you have to be careful when you're there, because above that, like in all holy places, there are monkeys. There's monkeys in a hovelman. Not many, not like Vrindavan. And they don't steal glasses and stuff. They're pretty cool monkeys. They just hang out for the coconut and they eat a coconut and they're happy. After the puja, a few bananas. So they're very, you know, they live in harmony with the pilgrims. But this, sometimes they sit on the ledge there, and we were there, and the devotees were saying, all this water that comes from the mountain is holy water, because Lord Nrisingadev washed here. So you can drink that water. And so devotees are drinking the water, and we looked up, and saw this monkey was up there peeing. Told the devotees, no, you can't drink this water. It's not. So go on the side. And so be careful when you're there. Look up. The water is pure, but make sure you look up and take the mercy of the Lord. Shri Nrisingadev Bhagavan ki, Lal Maharaj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gopi Manandini.